You're muted, Reverend Carroll. You're not unable to meet. Here you are.
Well, good morning, everyone. I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. We are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, who will serve as our liturgist, and our musical director, of course, Dave Valerio. If you're a visitor today, we hope you will be with us often. And Wayne, at this time, would you please call us to worship?
Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Trust in the Lord and give thanks. Let us join in worship together. O God, you rejoice with us in the warmth of relaxation of summer. Meet with us in worship this morning and give us the peaceful space which will allow us to reflect on your many gifts to us. Give us the openness which will enable us to hear the appropriate word. Meet with us as a fellowship of friends and give us the courage to walk the hard road of Christian discipleship together. Meet with us as members of the worldwide Christian family and give us the willingness to share from our plenty with our needy brothers and sisters of other towns, cities, and nations. This we ask in Christ's name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time we do share our announcements, and I just really have about one that I'm going to mention today. There have been a group of people meeting together to talk about the issue of racial inequality, and so this is what they want you to know about. They're trying to plan an event, and this is how they frame it. Confused about All Lives Matter? Join Central Congregational Church in a backyard discussion about race in America and the current civil rights movement. It's co-hosted by Eric Newby and by Cheryl Peterson, and they will each share their own stories as they relate to Black Lives Matter before inviting others to join in the conversation. People will have the opportunity to ask questions in a respectful atmosphere and reflect collectively on how our faith can guide us in taking steps towards healing racial injustices in our own communities, in our state, and in the country. This event is free and open to all. It's going to be held on Sunday, September 13th at 2 p.m. And everyone that is coming is encouraged to bring their own chair and refreshments. They can bring something to drink if they wish, or a munch on. And we will be required to wear masks and to practice social distancing. And there is a rain date for that on September 27th. So just want to get that out there. Believe it or not, that is just, what, two Sundays from now. We are fast approaching the month of September. Does anyone else have any announcement they would like to make? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you
please? I can do the...
I hear Martha.
Oh.
Do I hear Martha?
I do.
Reverend Carroll, were you asking for a... Were you asking for a mission moment? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, you know what? We could do one. Would you like to... we didn't plan on it.
I guess not.
No. Can you hear me? Martha? Can you find Martha there, Wayne?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Martha.
Yes.
Would you do it for us? About supply. Yeah. Supply sacks, right?
Okay. Supply sacks, yes. I was just reading in the Sun Chronicle that the World Council of Churches and the Vatican have teamed up and are asking all Christians to reach out to each other and be Christians, really. And I was thinking that's one of the things we do with the supply sacks. There's a big bin in front of Terry Donations. This is for children who are newly into the foster system and many times come with nothing except the clothes on their back. So they need school supplies, personal items, small toys that they can call their own, and anything that you would like to donate. Also, the Kids Cafe is continuing into September because of the school situation. So we're collecting for that, and Lunua's Pantry, of course. Thank you.
Martha, thank you very much for that. I'm sorry that we did not have that on the schedule. That was my fault, but I'm glad you spoke up. Any other announcements? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you like to introduce our next piece of music?
Yes. So we're going to be singing This Is My Father's World. And Kathy sent out an email, so you should have got an email on it in the link that you could have clicked on. Or if you go down at the bottom of the screen into the chat area and click on chat, our friend Ashley has also put the lyrics up there. So there's no excuse not to sing this morning. And once again, keep yourself muted and we'll be singing from our homes. But let's join together and sing This Is My Father's World. Mr. Dave, last week we started with Dave telling us his story about how he came to be a member of Central Congregational Church. We've asked for other people to sign up to do that as well.
or as Wayne has suggested, we can have you write it up and I'll be glad to read what you have to say, or Wayne can do it. So let us know if you are willing to share your story. You can let Wayne know, you can let me know, you can let the office know, and we would be very, very glad to have you participate in this. We think it's important for the future of the church for us to get to know exactly why it is that people have come and found fellowship with us. And so today I'm happy to ask Eric Newby. He has volunteered to be the person to tell us his story today.
Thanks, Reverend Carroll.
You're welcome.
So I started coming to Central Congregational about 3 years ago, and it really just happened by chance at the time. Erin, who was just my girlfriend, her family actually grew up going to Central Congregational, and her younger sister's oldest daughter was baptized there 3 years ago. And I tagged along, and just being in the atmosphere, just it reminded me so much of the church that I grew up in Pennsylvania, going to with my family. It wasn't a very big church in Pennsylvania either, but it was just a very close-knit group of people who just made you feel welcome every Sunday. And I felt that immediately when I stepped into Central Congregational. The service reminded me of the service back in Pennsylvania. And that first, you know, Sunday there for that baptism, I haven't stopped coming since then. So I think it speaks volumes of the congregation. You don't have to be the biggest church to make an impact on somebody. Like I said, the church in Pennsylvania I went to was not a large church, and there were plenty of large churches in the town as well that people could have gone to, and I visited those churches as well. But you just, I don't know, I think, you know, when the group is smaller, you can have, you know, close relationships. It's harder to get to know people on a, you know, personal level if there's tons and tons of people. And again, nothing against the big churches, but I'm definitely, you know, a small church kind of guy. And yeah, just from day one, everyone has been extremely welcoming in the church. And, you know, I reached out to Mr. Dave that very first day because he had, you know, people singing during the summer. And I was like, hey, I like to sing, you know, I like go to church, just put the two together, and reached out. And I think that following Sunday, I might have sang. It was just all very, very easy transition. And I hadn't found a church since being in Massachusetts. Granted, I hadn't looked very hard, which was definitely my fault as well. So it took like a good 5 years for me to find a church, but I'm happy that I found one like Central Congregational. So that's how I came to be a member.
Thank you for sharing that. We're glad that you waited for 5 years and found us finally. We're delighted. So congratulations. You definitely are a member, and you're a trustee, and you're singing in the choir. So we'll find more for you to do. Don't worry.
I won't doubt that one bit.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you for that. So if anyone else would like to share their story, we certainly invite you to do so. And this is the time we share our celebrations. We celebrate our church. We are a friendly church, we believe. And Eric has testified to that. I also received good news from Deb Fobert. She has received a clean bill of health. So she says that we can stop praying for her, but we will never stop praying for each other. Ed is at home from the Maples, as I mentioned last week, and his wife Janet is doing rehab at the Maples. Is there anyone out there that has a celebration they would like to share? Just mute yourself and speak up.
Scott and I are celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary on tomorrow, actually, Monday.
Congratulations.
She was a child bride.
Absolutely, she was a child bride. I'll be put up with Scott for 35 years.
We'll go with that. Travel.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Excellent.
Tomorrow is my mom's birthday.
Oh, you're giving away family secrets now. Very good. Cheryl, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
So they got
tomorrow
married
on
your
Harry,
birthday.
Harry's birthday.
And it's Harry's birthday.
Tomorrow.
Wow, tomorrow's a significant day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great.
I guess I should also mention that it's my brother's birthday on Tuesday, too.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Colin's a lot of birthdays.
Yeah. Absolutely. Any other birthdays or other celebrations?
I have one, Reverend Carroll. My cousin, Ebony, who lives in Columbus, Ohio, she just gave birth to her first baby on Friday. She gave birth to a little girl. Her name is Ella Michelle.
Oh, nice. Nice. So good to hear good news. Yeah. Any other celebrations? If not, then we move on to our concerns as a church family, and we pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer. And these are the names that we are people we're praying for today. We pray for Cher and Chad, for Lee, for Tyler and Doris, Janice and Dennis, for Steve, for Nancy, that is Kathy Trowbridge's mother, who had surgery and successfully and is going to be in rehab and probably is there now. We've been asked for prayers for Ken, for Brigitte and Marie. And Jackie asked us also to pray for Amy and Jeff. These are some folks in her family and they both have COVID. So our thoughts and prayers are with all of those people. The people who are currently in nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Bud, for Jackie, and for Carol. And we always continue to pray for the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and for first responders and everyone who works in the medical profession, all essential workers, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us, for those who suffer from addictions. And we pray for our nation and our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me now in a moment of prayer. And there will be a time of silence, and we ask you to hold up any names into God's presence from home at this time during that moment of silence. Let us pray. Sovereign God, loving God, we pray that you would help us to liberate all people who live in oppression that seeks to enforce obedience that is due only to you. Free those who are imprisoned for living and speaking the truth. Free us from addictions that destroy the body and cloud our judgment. Aid those who seek to end the traffic of illegal drugs which endanger each and every one of us and our society. Save us from the greed that consumes more than our share of the earth's resources, which diminishes our brothers and sisters who already live in poverty around the world. Give wisdom, patience, and perseverance to those who give aid in the fight against the illnesses of the body and mind. Help us to grapple with the pandemic that surrounds us. We pray for exhausted health workers, people who are suffering because of the isolation, and those who have contracted COVID, and especially those who have lost loved ones. Promote among us a helping spirit that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. Keep us faithful in our prayers for the world, our nation, our community, and our neighbors, especially those whose names we have mentioned this morning. And hear now the prayers of our hearts for any others in need of your healing presence in this time of silence. We give you thanks, O God, for all who have fought the good fight and finished the race and kept the faith, who are now at rest in you. Grant us the courage to follow in their footsteps. It is in your name and the name of Jesus Christ that we dare ask all these things. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for today continues the story of Moses from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, 7 and 8, and 11 through 14. Please hear these words. So last week we heard about Moses escaping from Egypt and becoming a shepherd. but he can't escape from the God of the Hebrews. He is confronted in a conversation with God by means of a burning bush. Following that, God instructs Moses to return to Egypt, confront Pharaoh, and lead the Hebrews people to the promised land. Moses has returned with his brother Aaron. He has confronted Pharaoh with a number of plagues, and Pharaoh relents for the moment to let the slaves go from Egypt. Now God instructs Moses and his brother Aaron how to get God's chosen people ready to flee from Egypt. Please hear these words. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. Where I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as the festival of the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. Remember the good old days, BC, I'm calling it. And I don't mean before Christ, because I wasn't alive then. I'm getting older, but I'm not that old. But I'm calling this the BC era of before COVID-19. Before the pandemic, most of us arguably were living pretty fast-paced lives. Work, housework, kids, getting those kids to school, baseball, softball, football, basketball, dancing lessons, helping our kids with homework, visiting elderly parents and people in the hospital. Add to that the time spent at our church, not just an hour of a week for worship, but choir practice, meeting almost every weeknight with committees. Some of you are on one committee, others are on several committees. Deacons spend time getting the church building ready for worship. Trustees were taking care of our buildings and grounds, the church building, the CE building, and the parsonage. Our treasurers were minding our treasures, our funds, budgeting and paying bills. Are you tired yet? We may have to rethink the busyness of our lives when this virus is under control. Because then came COVID, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm more tired and more stressed than BC, before COVID. In March, it all ground to a halt for us, and the waiting began, the waiting to taste the freedom that we knew so well. When I was thinking along those lines, it struck me that we are now in the position of those Hebrews awaiting delivery from slavery in Egypt. We too are pining for the freedom we used to enjoy. Everyone who has ever had a pet claims that it is the best pet in the whole world. I know I claim that about my angel, who's not here today because she came running through a Zoom meeting last week. But the waiting, we are just very much endeared to our pets. And it doesn't matter whether it's a cat, a horse, a chimpanzee, a goldfish, or a dog. It makes no difference. But for the most part, the dog usually comes out ahead, I have to admit. Now, I never understood the allure and the joy of being owned by a dog until 10 years ago with Angel, my little Lhasa Apso. She came to live with me. Having been attacked in my youth and childhood by German shepherds twice, I was afraid of large dogs, so I was happy to settle for a small dog. To my chagrin, I have learned that little dogs seem to be noisier and more aggressive than the big dogs. Angel snarls and barks at every big dog on our walks, and when one of those dogs begins to reciprocate, she runs and hides behind me Thanks so very much, Angel. But her actions remind me of two people walking their dogs. One had a large dog, one had a little stubby yellow dog. And one day the owner of the large dog got really annoyed with the aggression of the small dog and threatened the other dog's owner. If you don't shut that dog up, my dog is gonna tear him apart. And the other owner said, oh, I don't suggest you try that, and turned away. So the large dog was let off its leash and attacked the little dog. But the little dog badly mauled the large dog. And the owner said, what in the world kind of a dog is that? And the other one said, well, before I trimmed his tail and painted him yellow, he was an alligator. Well, we all love to tell our favorite dog stories, our favorite pet stories, and we get very sentimental about them. And often dogs have been elevated to the title of man's best friend. But I would like to submit that not the dog, but the lamb is our best friend. And it's all explained in today's scripture reading. Again, a brief review. Moses was pulled from the Nile River, adopted into Egyptian royalty. When he killed an Egyptian guard who was beating a Hebrew slave, he fled to the land of Midian. He married, became a shepherd. While grazing his flock on the side of Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, he was confronted by the God of the Hebrews, Moses' God and our God. He commanded that Moses return to Egypt and lead the children of God out of slavery to freedom in the promised land. After much objection to God's plan, Moses returned to Egypt where he confronted the priests of the Egyptian religion. Moses and the priests engage in some pretty bizarre things to convince each other that they alone worship the most powerful God. The Hebrew people want out of Egypt. 9 disasters have now plagued the enemy, but it has not yet brought freedom to the Israelite people of God. Blood, frogs, gnats, flies, diseased and dying animals, boils, hail, locusts, and thick darkness have been very persuasive, but still not entirely convincing. One final thing remains. Moses announces that the firstborn of every house, animal and human, will die when the angel of death passes over every house in the land of Egypt. Moses leaves the presence of Pharaoh in anger because Pharaoh has been so stubborn in letting them go. So to the nation who is about to be emancipated without open warfare, without a blow being struck, the command is given. Get yourself a lamb. You must have a lamb. Not just any old lamb will do. It must be a male, young, 1 year old, and without blemish. This lamb was to become their very best friend. This lamb will be their salvation. So the Israelites did as instructed. It sounds a little bit brutal to us, but remember, this was a time within the ancient Jewish faith when an animal such as a lamb was sacrificed to prove loyalty and devotion to the one true God. In fact, this tradition separated them from most of the other religions of that time that still required human sacrifice. But it was always believed that this kind of a sacrifice was a means of appeasing an angry God when a person had committed a sin, which we all do from time to time. Have you ever gone to a friend's house and need to be somewhere else? And what do we usually say? We say, sorry to eat and run, but. Well, that was exactly the instruction that the Hebrews got from Moses. Be ready to eat and run. The hurry-up experience of that evening meal was in stark contrast to all that had come before. The children of Israel had been in bondage there in Egypt for 4 centuries, 400 years of the descendants of Jacob sitting down night after night, year after year, to their meager evening meals in bondage. They knew the pain and the drudgery of living and dying in slavery, and night after night passed without relief. Generation after generation passed without deliverance. But now suddenly they're told they had to hurry. It's possible that the people were feeling more despairing than hopeful that night. After all, even when it seemed that deliverance had finally arrived, it still became once again an exercise in patience and waiting. So the Hebrews ate their meal in haste with their sandals on, ready to flee, and they waited. Outside, the wails of grief could be heard from the Egyptian households. And in the middle of the night, Moses was summoned to Pharaoh's presence. It was over. The king of Egypt surrendered to the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they were finally free. And they were alive because they had all offered a sacrificial lamb and let the angel of death know that this was a house to be avoided. It was this kind of thinking that led the early Christian church to recognize the death of Jesus Christ as being the sacrificial lamb of God. And as the Jews remember the incredible events that led their forebears out of slavery in Egypt to a land promised to them for eternity, in the feast they call Passover, we turn to this very event to understand that Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice to protect us from the angel of death and for the forgiveness of our sins. After this, Jesus was often called in scripture and in the church tradition, the Lamb of God, the last and the perfect sacrifice for you and me. And since we as Christians believe that this was indeed the last and perfect sacrifice, Christians never practiced animal sacrifice like all of the other religions of the area. And coincidentally, the Jews never practiced animal sacrifice again after the destruction of their temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, about 40 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, which was the only place where sacrificial animals were accepted. You and I do not await deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Neither do we need to wait for the salvation that is offered in Christ. In a very small way, we are being held captive of a disease rather than an army. And I certainly predict that our waiting will not be for four centuries, but for however long it takes to regain our BC lives, we must be patient and trust in God and know that our salvation is ensured by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the powerful Lamb of God. Amen. Go forth from this service of worship knowing the blessed assurance that our salvation has indeed been found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
This concludes our service for this Sunday morning.